From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL-FM, welcome to Wine and Dandy. I'm your host, Sarah King.
I'm your host, Jamie Caskey.
Wine is fun, and we intend to prove it. And Jamie, it doesn't get more fun than wine in cans.
You can take that stuff anywhere.
Anywhere, and that really is the bonus of it. It's light, it's portable, and most importantly this time of year, it's allowed at the pool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or on a boat. Or if you're going to the beach, it is just the ultimate summer beverage in terms of convenience.
Indeed. The only place it's not allowed is in the driver's seat of your car.
Right. Which is actually true for all alcoholic beverages.
I want to make sure everybody knows that we are not for drinking and driving.
Not at all.
Well, so I guess we should just jump right in because I have four really fun cans to talk about. Yeah.
I have a question. I wasn't allowed to look at one of them.
Oh, one of them is a throwback to your, I'm guessing, college years, and
I think it's
going to be our last one.
Okay, good.
But I went to Total Wine today, and I had a great time finding all these cans of wine. There's a whole section. I remember when we've done a wine cans before, a wine in cans before. What we discovered, there was like Underwood was like the pioneer in this.
Right.
And I still stand behind Underwood Rosé, and their Pinot Gris is not so bad, or Pinot Grigio. And they have sparkling. Like, they were the first to go about this in my world. I'm sure there's others out there. But now they have a whole section at Total Wine.
This market has exploded.
Yeah, it's super convenient. Mm-hmm. I will say, I was reading about this, and I would agree that, you know, it's not the best way to
chill a wine.
Or enjoy a wine, like metal and wine. And also, you don't really get the full nose if you drink it straight from the can.
Mm-hmm.
But
decant that thing.
Yeah. Put it in a solo cup.
And that's a great way to decant it at the pool. Also, I do want to discuss, now they're coming in different sizes, because when we did the first episode, when this we were first digging into this and it was really coming on the market at first, the word was a can of wine was the equivalent of a bottle of wine once you had poured it out. But now they've really sort of miniaturized and made them more standard size, sort of like a beer can, correct?
Right. Well, you're close. The can of wine is a half a bottle of wine.
Ah, that's okay.
Yeah, so they have the glass half bottles, and this is a much more convenient way to get a half bottle of wine.
Right.
Plus, it's going to store a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, what was the second point you made?
They're a different size. I can tell from over here,
because
I'm not allowed to look at the labels yet, that there's one that's like a tall V8 can, so it's more slender.
Well, this is not just wine in cans. I did a lot of sparklers today.
I see.
Because at the pool this year, I'm a cider girl in the summer. I enjoy being at the pool and having cider, and cider's gotten a little thick for me at times, so I mix it with my soda water.
Yeah.
And I make a cider seltzer.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, and then I was thinking about what to do for an episode, and I've discovered that they make wine seltzers in cans.
Yes.
So,
oh, yeah.
Which I think is kind of funny. It's like kind of like buying ultra-concentrated detergent or like the stuff that they've added water to. Like, I'm like, you could make it yourself.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
so
marketing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Why do it when you don't have to? I'm trying to figure out what order to do these in. I think that's how I'm going to do it.
Well, one from where I am standing, I can see the back of the label, and it looks just like a Lily Pulitzer dress.
Yes, that's true. That's the second one
cute.
We're going to do.
Yeah.
And I was looking through.
And that is a trademark term. And we are not selling anything having to do with her or her clothing.
I don't own any Lily Pulitzer, though I did find an original Lily Pulitzer probably 15 years ago at the thrift store.
Yeah.
And all, I am not preppy at all. Mm-hmm. And all the preppy girls that I knew were like, oh my God, is that Lily Pulitzer? And I was like, who is that? And they're like, they looked at the label like, oh my God, it's the original.
Get it. Even if it doesn't fit, get it.
I just saw a tank top that had pink zebras on it. And I was like, that's cool.
Well, and I don't know if you recall, but several years ago, the Lily Pulitzer collection went into Target and sold. Like, it was insane.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know, Filene's basement for wedding dresses.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Filene's basement. All right. Well, let's just hop into the first one. So this first can that I found, I got all these at Total Wine aside from one, the thin one that we'll get to later. And you can buy them in four packs or you can buy them individually. And as for the gamut of them, they're about $5.99 a can. But again, you're getting half a bottle of wine.
And I would like to say, as someone who is currently packing for a beach trip, it is so much easier if you're filling up boxes with beach groceries to do a four pack of cans for your wine than the bottles, because then it comes up the neck and you're ramming all kinds of weird stuff down between
the bottles.
Yeah,
trying to keep from bumping into each other.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, put all the trash cans and laundry pods in that one. Yes. Yeah, very poor for packing.
Oh, that's a long, big pour. I'm not sure why I gave you so much. Here you go. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Ooh, this looks like a rosé.
This is a rosé. It's called Pop and Fizz. It's got a really pretty label. It's pink.
Yes.
It's a rosé fizz. And it does give you a a graphic on the side that has two cans equaling one bottle of wine. This is made in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And this does not have seltzer in it. It's just rosé, sparkling rosé.
Okay.
And it's a 12.9 by volume alcohol.
I will sip
this. So
this
is not a lighter alcohol beverage.
Have you tried this one before?
No, I haven't tried any of these.
Oh, I love it. Okay, great.
I'm going to take in two sips for two reasons. One, you always do that. Two, I brushed my teeth about an hour ago, so the first taste is going to be gross.
Give me a real shock.
Yeah. I'm not judging this by the first taste for sure.
I have not brushed my teeth recently, unfortunately, for our engineer who had to come help us, and I was talking to him up close with coffee breath.
Oh, well.
We love Will.
He still fixed things.
Exactly. Smells a little petroleum-y when I smell it, but I wonder if that's because it was canned.
Mm. I never get much nose on rosé. Never have. It's all right.
It smells pleasant.
I would definitely not throw this out of bed for eating crackers. Not much to it. It's just serviceable.
It is serviceable. A tiny baby bit bitter on the back, too. It's not my favorite rosé, but I would drink it at a pool.
Oh, in a heartbeat. Yep. I think it's perfectly fine for that. So, again, it's like $6, and you get half a bottle of wine. And
kind of an artsy label.
All right, next up we have on many of the sites, because I looked up canned wines trying to find some fun fast facts, this one came up on many of the best lists. Best canned.
Oh, this is the one, guys, that I was just saying. Looks like it's a Lilly Pulitzer
Got
dress.
Pineapples all over it.
Yeah.
Some of them are upside down. And do you know what the upside down pineapple stands for?
I do.
Should we tell them?
No, I think they can look that up in urbandictionary.com.
Okay, well, it's out there. But it has to be the only symbol on your leggings, not mixed in with some that are right side up, because my husband went into a panic attack because he has a pineapple pair of shorts that he wears to the pool where they're pineapples are like upside down, sideways.
Yeah.
Some of them are right side up. So he's like, there are upside down pineapples on my shorts. Should I be concerned? I'm like, no.
No, no one's going to hit on you, pumpkin.
Yeah.
You're with me.
Yeah. All right. So this one's called Oceans Away. This is pineapple wine spritz.
This smells terrific. So this is a spritzer.
I believe this is wine made from pineapples, made from fresh fruit. It's from Hawaii.
Ooh.
It's been cellared and packed by Blue Ocean Wines in Dundee, Oregon. 12.1 by volume.
Okay.
So this is not a spritzer. So maybe I misspoke with the whole spritzer thing. These are just bubbles.
Well, I will say, to me, it smells like someone has caramelized a fresh pineapple.
Oh, it smells really good.
Doesn't it? It smells like somebody took a little torch. What do you call those little brulee torch?
It's just called a torch.
And run it over the top of a pineapple. I can't wait to taste it.
Super. Do you think it's going to be sweet?
Maybe a little bit. And how much was this can? Also $6.99?
They're roughly about between $4.99 and $6.99.
I'm going in for second sip because it also has a little bit of a back end taste I'm not thrilled
about.
Well,
you smell the pineapple and you immediately want Dole, you know, the Dole pineapple.
Yeah.
But this is wine made from pineapples.
Yeah.
It's fruit wine.
You have to remind yourself it's not going to taste like a pineapple Jelly Belly.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, side note, let's just talk one more time about how I went to the Jelly Belly factory.
Yes, I'm still happy for you.
And this does smell like a pineapple Jelly Belly.
Or does the pineapple Jelly Belly smell like this? You know, it's very dry, slight effervescence.
It's pretty good.
There's like almost a sugary bit going on in the back of my mouth. It's not sweet, but you can feel the heaviness of there being sugar in it. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that's why I think this would make a great sangria.
Ooh,
with fresh pineapple.
Girl. Yeah,
can you imagine?
No. What if you put basil in it? Ooh, and then you put pineapple,
fresh.
And then put like maybe some kind of like fresh coconut and a little coconut water in there.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you could put one of those bi-coconut drinks in there.
Oh my God. This
Yum.
Is heaven.
That's very good. Okay, so you might not want to just drink it out of the can, but you definitely want to make that recipe Sarah just made up.
I just made it up. Yeah, good luck. Let me know if you try it. You can do that on our Facebook page, and that would be Wine and Dandy Podcast. You can do it on our Instagram page, Wine and Dandy Podcast, and our Twitter page,
Wine and Dandy Podcast.
That's right. Let's take a break real quick. We have two more cans to go. Welcome back. All right, Jamie, let's hit these last two cans. This next one I'm very excited about because I called our friends at Seaboard Wine because they often donate wine to this, you know, the podcast, and I was asking her if she had any wine spritzers in the can. They don't have very many canned wines at all, which I found surprising, but they do have a really small store.
They do.
So,
a really good selection of other wines.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Instead, she said, I have vermouth, sparkling vermouth.
I can't begin to imagine.
Well, you're about to not have to imagine because it's right here.
It's called Sprezza. I wonder what that
means. Sprezza. I don't know.
Italy. In Vettos. Italian, I mean.
In Italy. What's it mean in Italy? Ain't sure. Probably spritz.
Probably.
This is Bianca, so it's white. So on the label, it says white vermouth, mineral water, orange bitters, and carbonation. I don't want to put any preconceived notions in my head, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you're not going to like this.
Because
you don't
like
bitter things.
Right. Do tell us a little bit background on, explain what vermouth is one more time for people who have not heard our episode.
I love vermouth, especially, there are lots, I mean, now the market's exploded on that as well, but mm-hmm. vermouth is a dry, it can be dry or sweet, and it is an herbed wine, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's typically used as a mixer, though when it was created by the man who invented Carpano Antico, which is the oldest vermouth.
Wow.
So delicious. Mm-hmm. But it was meant for women because whenever wine was very first invented, that it was rough around the edges, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not to say wine first invented because I mean, it goes back so far, but back in like the 1800s, they were trying to refine things. Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, women like sweet things and they like herby things that smell good. Let me make this for women. And as a woman, he wasn't wrong, but I know plenty of men who like it too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Vermouth is just an herbed wine, essentially.
So it's a little more savory than what you're used to
exactly,
in wine.
Exactly. Sure. So this is a white vermouth, which doesn't necessarily mean dry. There's sweet vermouth, which is Italian vermouth, as mm-hmm. you'll sometimes see it referred to. And then there's white vermouth or French vermouth, you'll sometimes see it referred to.
Now, I know you mentioned that vermouth is often used in cocktails. What? Just toss out a couple of names that people would recognize.
Well, there's a very easy one. So the Manhattan mm-hmm. is sweet vermouth, bourbon or rye and sweet vermouth. And the martini is white vermouth, gin or vodka and white vermouth.
So there you go.
Yeah, or dry vermouth. But there's also white sweet vermouth. So, I mean, it gets complicated.
Yeah,
but those
are
the basics. So maybe we'll do it. Have we done vermouth?
I think we have.
Yeah, maybe we should
revisit. But if we don't remember, we should revisit.
Yeah, well, and also, especially at Seaboard Wine, I've been in there, and they have quite the vermouth collection.
Oh, very nice.
And aperitivos and things like that. Anything wine-based they can sell, because in North Carolina, for some reason, mm-hmm. I think it's the, I'm not sure what ABC stands for, but the stores that the alcohol is served in is the ABC store, which you would think would be for kids' toys.
It's Alcoholic Beverage Commission.
Oh, well,
I could be wrong, but
I
said it so confidently, I'm probably right.
It sounds right. Hold a manila envelope. It'll seem like you're more official.
Right. I have it in this manila envelope.
Yes,
this is
all
this
my
means.
Brains. Okay, so this has 5.2% alcohol by volume. This is made in Italy.
It's pretty low. That's good.
It's Mancino's Vermouth and Scrappy's Bitters. Here we go.
Well, I like the name Scrappy's Bitters.
Yeah,
I'm not probably going to like this, but I love that name.
Oh, it smells good.
It's a very unusual smell. I'm trying to think of what
Negroni is.
Well,
what
it smells like bitters. Yeah, it smells like bitters to me.
It smells like vermouth and bitters. That sweet bit on the front is the vermouth.
Huh.
It's herbaceous. It's got a little bit herby lemon going on, but it's actually orange. The orange bitters is what you're smelling.
What is the? Is it Negroni? The orange drinking that I had when I was in Italy. It's orange and it looks like it would be fruity, but it's not at all.
Yes, that's Campari.
Campari, thank you.
And there's also Aperol, which I like to say Campari with training wheels.
Okay. It smells like that.
Yeah, and it's going to taste like that. It's those are bitter.
Well, this is going to be different than when I had that in Italy because I thought it looked like one thing and I put it in my mouth and I was like,
yeah, no, don't expect sweet. This will not be sweet.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't hate it.
It's definitely bitter.
It's bitter.
But I love it. I think it's delicious.
Yeah, interesting. What would you eat with this? Asparagus?
Well, no, you wouldn't eat. I've told you this before. I'm not a fan of eating with liquor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that wine goes with food and liquor is a before and after beverage. That's just me. Mm-hmm. And especially bitter things like liquor speaking, like Campari is quite bitter. Mm-hmm. It's considered an aperitivo, which means you have it before as opposed to digestive, like a Montenegro. At the end of the meal, you'd have a digestive, like an Amaro, and that is meant to digest your food. And it does work. If you have a big meal and you have a digestive, you're just chilled out. But the reason they give you bitter things prior to eating is because it creates a lot of saliva, and they've done many tests on it, and it does improve the flavor of your food.
Now, that's interesting because if you have reflux or stomach issues, a lot of times they'll say try a little bit of bitters in water. Which would be more of a digestive. And I've done that in the past when I had real bad reflux.
And it worked?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean.
Well, so this is medicine.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. You're right. That's
cheers.
A good
I'm going to do one more sip.
It's intriguing.
I think it's delicious. You do. It's definitely a little more viscous. So you can taste there's like, there's more texture to this.
There's some body.
Yeah, definite body. So I don't know. And this one, this came in a 4-pack, and it was on sale. I did get this from Seaboard Wine Warehouse for $12.99.
Wow, for a 4-pack. That's great.
For a 4-pack. All right. And then last, did you read the label?
No, I haven't looked at it. I was very good.
Because I noticed that I accidentally sent it. I pushed the other. I didn't realize it had two sides to the label.
Oh, I didn't even look.
I'm going to let you read it out loud.
Oh, it's Bartles and James, like the original wine spritzer. Everybody raise your hand if you had a 3 million of those when you were younger. I have two hands up. There's 6 million.
I didn't. My mom drank them like crazy, though.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh.
Was this the Larry, the Daryl and Daryl commercials?
I don't even remember.
I remember the commercials. I thought they were funny.
I have chill bumps, y'all, because I didn't even think Bartles and
James
still existed.
That's why I grabbed it. I didn't think so either. I was like, Bartles and James, getting this one.
Plus it looks like a classy label.
It does. It's got like barbershop stripes on it, but they're green and white. And this is cucumber lime wine cooler.
Well, Bartles and James has come a long way then.
And this, oh, by the way, it was established in 1984.
Okay. Yeah, I think I was drinking it in 1984.
And this can was $2.99.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Also equivalent to, just in terms of liquid ounces, half a bottle of wine.
Yeah, well, let's see what the alcohol is on this bad boy.
Ooh, this is interesting.
This is only 4%. So okay. This is like a beer.
Also low.
Like a low beer, like a session beer. A sesh beer. Have you ever heard of those?
No.
Yeah, we can do a whole thing on session beers. For some reason, it irks me.
I was going to say, that clearly irritates you.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys have any session beers? Shut up.
Just ask for a beer.
Just a beer. You want a beer? You want this beer or that beer? Not a session beer.
This smells a lot like cucumber.
It smells exactly like cucumber.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
And is cucumber mint?
No, cucumber lime.
Cucumber
lime.
Okay.
There is an off note at the back.
There is an off note. Like cucumber and poo, one might guess. Because we walk our dogs, so we bag their poo, and it has bagged dog poo at the back, but I'm sure
it's in freshly cut grass.
It's gonna taste great.
Here's to Bartles and James and Delta, Delta, Delta. I feel like this is a sorority in a glass.
Oh, well, it's kind of like drinking liquid bacon.
Bacon,
I just got it's kind of savory. Well, you get that cucumber on the end, though, it really cleans up at the end.
Not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's a little sweet for my taste.
Huh.
But not as bad as I thought
and
it was going to be. It's
cucumber.
Light.
Yeah, I love cucumber. I think this is...
What if you put real cucumber in this? You know what this might be good mixed with? Pimm's. Do you know Pimm's?
I know it's British. That's all I know. Is
yeah,
it like
you're supposed to, pronounce that. Pimm's.
Oh.
Pimm's cups. It's a super herbaceous liquor. And you typically will put what they call... lemonade, but what we call Sprite or 7-Up or whatever. But you could put this in there with it, and you typically garnish it with lemon and cucumber. You would just like make a salad on the top. I used to like have a great time.
This is really growing on me.
Yeah, no, it's not bad.
Because it has such a clean cucumber
it's
finish.
It's super clean.
Yeah.
$2.99. I don't think it'd have to be super duper cold. It's a little too sweet for my taste.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I would not kick that out of bed for eating crackers.
Let's see. Contains carbonated water, grape wine, as opposed to pineapple wine.
Oh, sure. I guess you have to say that.
Cane sugar, natural flavors, which could be anything. Less than 1% of potassium citrate, citric acid, potassium sorbate, and sulfiting agents.
Okay.
Yeah. Surprisingly not disgusting. That's why I put it last, because I was like, Bartles and James, established in 1984. Millions of people are here today because of Bartles and James.
Bartles and James. It's like when there's a power loss in the winter. And 9 months later, many babies are born. I like that. Okay, well, that was very interesting. Speaking of bubbly, because a lot of these are bubbly, I have some wine news when we come back. We're going to take a quick break.
I love your wine news. You're always so informative.
Fill you in on international thing that's going on with wine. Welcome back to Wine and Dandy. We just wrapped up our wine in cans.
Nice cans.
Oh, that's right.
Nice cans.
Nice cans, Sarah.
Yeah. Innuendo. What are you talking about? They are nice. They're pretty.
And now we're going to hop right into the dirty side of winemaking, which is picky labeling and the Russians. Have you heard about what's going on with this?
This sounds like a novel.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So as we know, because you have educated us, champagne can only really be called champagne if it is from...
Champagne.
That's right. She means the Champagne region of France.
Precisely.
So this week, there is quite a little dust up because Russia and Vladimir Putin has just signed into law that the only wines that can be labeled as champagne in Russia are Russian-produced
The French
champagne.
Are pissed.
Yes.
Oh my, you do not mess with champagne. It is their favorite thing that they make.
Yeah. They're mad. And probably the biggest company that's being sort of bandied about.
Let me guess.
Is
it Tattinger?
Nope.
Who is it?
Guess again.
Is it Veuve Clicquot?
I'm going to give you a third guess.
Is it?
No, I'm not, because it is. Veuve Clicquot owns Moët and Chandon, Dom Pérignon, and Krug.
They're massive.
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
Yeah.
And makers of champagne out of France, guys. So this is why this is important. They've had to suspend their deliveries immediately, and to change all of the back labels of their champagnes before they can go into Russia.
So they're saying, fine, we'll follow your crazy rules.
Yeah. They said Russia said you must relabel your bottle as sparkling wine, which is a slap in their face to France.
Yeah, that's like calling a Frenchman an Englishman.
Right. Exactly. But like, well, okay, I mean, it's a lot of money for us. So they are...
I'm shocked that they're doing it.
Yeah. The Russian producers of sparkling wine, I guess got tired of having to follow France's rules, can still label their product simply Champenskoye, which is the Russian word for champagne, which, yeah, I probably did mispronounce, and I apologize. So.
I thought it sounded great.
Thanks. I'm sure it sounded pretty accurate. So now people are very upset about it, champagne producers.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that is centuries of history.
Yep.
And that's one of the good things about, like, French wine, is, you know, in any wine area, like, that's been established for that long, is they have... That name doesn't just say this bottle. It says every bottle that came before it.
Right. So the French champagne groups are slamming that Russian sparkling wine label law and at the same time changing everything to comply because it's such a huge export for them.
Woof.
That is my big wine news.
It was big.
Bam.
I mean, why? What's the point?
It's like, are you going to buy it and drink it? You know what? You can pay $300 for that bottle. Call it what you want is what I would be saying if I were Moët and Chandon. Put crayon on the back if you're going to pay for it and drink it. More money in our coffers.
I know, but I would be mad if I was a champagne producer and they're like, we're going to call this champagne. We've been making it for however long.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you like your product that much, have pride in where it comes from and call it, you know, Moscow or whatever district it's in as opposed to Champagne, which is the district it's from.
Right. Well, unless you own the word now. It's kind of crazy.
Just so silly. Good job, Russia. Good job.
She says sarcastically, if you can see her face. And that's today's wine news on the Wine and Dandy podcast. Sarah, where can folks also maybe comment or correct my pronunciation or just get in touch with us?
I would love that. Correct Jamie. It's fun. you can find us on Facebook, Wine and Dandy Podcast. You can find us on our Instagram feed, Wine and Dandy Podcast. And we're also on Twitter at Wine and Dandy Podcast. And we would love for you to weigh in, post some pictures of you drinking some canned wines this summer. Next time you have a canned wine in your hand, promise that you'll do it, Jamie. You'll post
I
a
will
picture.
Do it. Absolutely.
I'll do the same thing. I usually do cider, so I'll do my cider.
Cheers.
Cheers.